You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy. 2020, the beginning of the wealth transfer. This program is all about the wealth transfer that's coming. I'm so excited about it. Been prophesying about it. I wrote a book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success because of the coming wealth transfer. But first, let's just start with Kent Christmas as he's loosing a prophetic word for 2020. Listen to this specific word about the wealth transfer.
This year, 2020, is the beginning of a latch transfer of wealth in the earth. This final move of my presence in glory is not a revival for the church, for revival is for the lukewarm. This final harvest, and this harvest is only for the lost. This harvest is for a generation that did not reject me, did not see what they wanted, but rejected the counterfeit church. The church that's going to bring in the last harvest will not look like the church of past generation. Your pews are going to have men and women on them with dyed hair and mohawks and tattoos and generational piercings. But they will be changed and washed by the blood of the Lamb and will give me the glory that I have so longed for in this hour. This harvest will primarily be a generation of younger men and women who have never felt the real presence of their Creator. They're going to be led by a group of men and women who have a Joshua and Caleb spirit, who have had to live in the wilderness for years with the lukewarm and the unbelieving and the rebellious. But they did not become bitter, waiting on me to show up. I have preserved their call and purpose for this time. They are not famous people or well known in the earth, but know this, they are famous and well known in heaven and in hell. When they get on their knees and pray, the foundations of hell shake. And they are the ones, saith the Lord, that the prophets have declared, the people who know their God shall be strong and do great exploits.
Is this not exciting or what? Oh my goodness, I've been talking about the wealth transfer. We're having, you know, a lot of different prophetic people that are hearing this is the year, the beginning of the wealth transfer, and the wealth transfer is for the harvest. He said specifically, listen to the people he's talking about that's going to be coming into the kingdom. It is so exciting. God's dealing with the religious spirit. That's why he's doing things like Kanye West. You're going to see something happen with Justin Bieber and some different things that are just shaking people up. I mean, we have a president of the United States that gathered pastors in Miami just this last week or in January and told them very specifically, don't be afraid. Teach your people about the global worldview, the biblical worldview. Just don't tell them who to vote for. Just teach them about the biblical worldview. And it's like God is challenging the church. Wake up from this religious spirit. God's about to bring in a harvest, and the wealth transfer is specifically for the harvest. And as a matter of fact, Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, taught specifically about what the Lord showed him about this harvest and the great wealth transfer that's coming in for the harvest. Check it out.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates His mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
Isn't that exciting? I mean, this is the harvest, and it takes wealth to be able to bring in such a harvest. You know, I taught specifically, I'll tell you a bit about what the Lord has shown me is specific about the wealth transfer and the harvest. But it just takes wealth, being on television like this, being broadcasted around the world. It requires, you know, finance to be able to do it. And God's going to bring it in. Don't give it up. Realize God is going to bring it in. It's exciting. Well, God showed me very specifically, you know, about this wealth transfer and the harvest. And I wrote about it in my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success. And you have to fight for your success, but it's a good fight of faith. And I start the book out, and I want to share with you a little bit about it so you understand. And you can get it at, go to our website at vfnkb.com, order your copy, or go to amazon.com. Got a Kindle version of it. Soon there'll be an Audible version of it. But you need to get it because there's some very specific things. And I'll read to you the first little part talking about what God showed me about the coming wealth transfer. You know, I write in the first part of the book about this. I said, a great wealth transfer for the end times harvest is coming. Gold rain, diamonds, great wealth transfer is titled. God wants success for you. And success for us specifically is doing what God tells us to do, right? For he says in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. A great wealth transfer is coming, and it's coming for a reason, a God reason. The Lord showed me personally one of the aspects of this wealth transfer and how it led me to be able to begin to write this book, because God is going to be able to bring, he's going to bring justice." And this is why I actually wrote the book, I Will Fight, to help prepare you so that you can position yourself for the great provision and wealth transfer for the coming harvest. I'll never forget, and I'm writing in the book, so I'm just going to read it. I'll never forget when I was playing football in my younger years and how the coach would use something, that seems so simple, yet would move the entire team in a direction and place us in a particular position to be able to play ball. And it was a simple thing as a whistle. The coach would just blow a whistle, we'd all stop what we're doing and we'd look. You can see it all in sports, as all men and women type of men stands on the field in all types of uniforms and different kinds of games that they're playing. They were there, these particular people, but not there, watching everything that we were doing. They would seem to be watching everything that was happening on the field, but when something would happen that was wrong or happened against the rules to you or the team, suddenly they would blow their whistle and throw a marker out or a flag out on the ground. They just blow the whistle and all that flag comes out. You hate to see those things. And everyone would stop and they would look. The players on both sides, the other referees, the coaches, the players that were not playing, who were on the sidelines, the fans who were sitting in the seats, the TV cameras would turn in, they were broadcasting the game all around the world, and the fans who were sitting in their living rooms watching the television and streaming on their devices, everyone's attention is focused on the one with the whistle. Why? Because the thing that is about to come out of the mouth of the referee will shift, say that word shift, will shift the entire game and change it for everyone. Referees who quietly watch the game, allowing coaches to call their own plays, play after play, game after game. But the moment they blow their whistle, they all know the person with the whistle has the authority to change everything. You think about that's powerful, right? I didn't realize this. Did you know that God has a whistle? And if you didn't, you're not alone. Think about this. I didn't realize that God had a whistle until he showed me it in a dream one night. And I'm talking about the specific dream that he had shown me, this prophetic dream, that let me know that he revealed to me what I'm writing to you about and the reason why I'm writing this particular book. In this dream, I was sitting on in a secret place that where I seek the Lord, and I'm sitting on this bed. The covers are fully made. And all of a sudden, God just hands me this whistle, but it's a unique-looking whistle. It's like a long glass, big whistle. And he says, blow on it. I blow on the whistle, and just air goes through it. And it didn't make any sound like a whistle would make, just air. And he said, this whistle will take wealth. This whistle will take diamonds. And so at first, I was like shaking like diamonds of all the things, right? And then I paused. I said, wait a minute, we're people of faith. I gotta move in faith. So I held my hands over the bedspread and I just said, diamonds be. And all of a sudden these diamonds just appear, rough diamonds, not the shiny ones like you see, you know, on your ring and jewelry, that type of thing. But they just appeared. And so I gathered them the way you would with both hands and round objects on a bedspread, and I started pouring them down the whistle. And I said the statement, this is great wealth. And as soon as I started to pour them down the whistle, people started coming from everywhere. The harvest started coming in from everywhere. You couldn't even stop it. And I tried to pause it because I'm like, I got to write this down because I'm still in the dream, but yet I feel like I woke up from the dream, but I'm still in the dream as woke. And I'm actually thinking, I better write this down. If I don't write this down, I'm going to forget everything he's told me. But you can't lose your cool. You can't be angry because the Holy Spirit will just lift off and it'll be totally gone like cotton candy disappears in a child's mouth. And so I'm actually kind of getting the people out, kind of get them out of the place, and literally had to take the door and just kind of press the people out. There were so many people, right? And then all of a sudden, they started taking the door off the hinges and started coming up that way. And I had to literally push the whole door back in again, and I finally got it closed, and then people started coming out of the closet. They were there earlier. It was just like listen, God is about to blow his whistle, and he says very specifically, you know, in the scriptures about his particular whistle that he has. And he says that he's going to blow his whistle and he's going to gather the nations. He says, I will whistle. This is Zechariah 10:8. I will whistle for them and gather them in, for I have redeemed them, and they shall be as many as they were before. God's just going to blow his whistle like a referee will blow. Everything's going to stop. Everything's going to shift. And when the harvest comes in, great wealth's going to come in. And what the Lord showed me that he's going to transfer the wealth for his harvest. But he also showed me that he's been getting money to people for a long time. He's been blessing people for a long time, but it just goes through their hands like holes in a bowl because of character and integrity, the ability, the understanding of how to manage wealth, how to function in that context of it. And so he showed me that specifically he's going to pour his glory. His glory is going to touch so many people. People are going to be just swimming in his glory, soaking in his glory. It's nothing like the glory of God. But in his presence, in his glory, it's going to cause people with great wealth to want to give. They're going to want to give. They're going to see the need for the harvest, and they're going to want to give towards the harvest. At the same time, they're going to see individuals that even though God wants to get you finances, he wants to get you, bless you so that you can help be a blessing with the harvest, he has to get you ready for it. And so, I mean, literally was showing me that you're going to need to be trained up and you're going to need to be put into a place where, you know, up under a shepherd, up under somebody who's going to train you up and get you ready, get you prepared. And as you get to different levels, God's going to give you different amounts of blessing because he knows that you're going to be faithful with that particular blessing. You know, God gives seed to the sower, if you would. And so then he showed me specifically that almost like a mini grant where all the money would come in, it would come into a particular source, and then people would work to the next level in their character and their integrity, their ability to manage and then show their faithfulness. If you're faithful over a few things, you'll be faithful over many things. Then as they do, then God would release more increase. But it's not more increase. You can have more cars, more houses, more chocolate bars. It's the harvest. This harvest is coming in. It's reportedly that it's going to be over a billion so harvest that Bob Jones talked about. Others have talked about. A large portion of it's going to be young people. You just heard Kent Christmas talk about it. Another thing the Lord showed me that he's going to bring justice down. And when he brings justice down on the evildoer, because you're seeing it happen right now. We just saw it happen recently, but I'm not going to get into details. But you're seeing, you know, justice come down. As soon as the justice fully comes down on the evildoer, all this wealth that's been held back is going to be released. I mean, literally released. And the other thing is the seed of evil is going to come down and the seed of the righteous is going to rise. It's going to come with a sting. I mean, it's not going to be, I mean, the harvest is always going to come with a fight. You know, Paul says a great door of opportunity is open for me for ministry, but yet with it, much opposition. It's the best of times and the worst of times. Well, listen, you've got this book. I go into more details about, you know, what took place, you know, with that prophetic encounter and even more, you know, more details about other aspects of that. But the why I wrote this book, you've got to understand that if you just read the Bible, just read the fight that you've got to fight. Read Hebrews chapter 11 and the people's, they had to fight the good fight of faith to be able to function. This is a very practical biblical application to your life. And I think it was the second great awakening that took place in America that I think the driving force behind the message that was being spoken is the parable of the talents. People weren't doing anything with what God's given them. And this whole focus is, listen, God has given you talents. He expects you to gain interest on them. If he's given you something, what you have is his. He gave it to you. And what he wants you to do is take what he gave you and do something with it, not something for yourself, to do something, advance his kingdom, gain interest in what he's given you. And so specifically, that requires you to be able to fight, to be faithful, to do the different things. And so I write about it in this book. And don't forget, you can go to Amazon or you can go to vfnkb.com. And I talk specifically about this. And let me share just a couple things about it. But I talk about the fight, you know, that it requires to fight. Of all the things that Paul wrote his spiritual son, Timothy, said, listen, fight, son. I'm going to say that. Say fight. Fight. Listen, you know, what happened to the church that would fight? I'm not talking about physically fighting, but just fight to grab a hold of your emotions. Fight to grab a hold of your vision. Fight when people give up. You continue to stay, even when it stinks, even when they stink, right? So I talk about a fighter and how important that is and that, you know, biblical aspects of fighting, but also the practical fight. Everybody likes a fighter. There's this one particular man that was he was in his house, in his front yard, and all of a sudden this bad guy comes in front of his house and just grabs a hold of him and starts to force him at gunpoint and ties his hands behind his back, and the guy's fighting and trying to break loose, and then he forces this guy into his house, and the bad guy forces him at his house, and the man kicks his way back out on the front porch, and I mean, it just, everything's getting knocked over, and the guy pushes him back in again, and the guy fights, he's literally his hands tied behind his back, he's just fighting to get out again, and he fights and fights and fights, and finally, the bad guy gives up and he runs off. How many people give up the first time somebody, you know, attacks them or says, oh, my hands are tied, I can't, but how many people say, my hands are tied, right? Everybody loves a fighter. This guy, don't you just love this guy? I talk specifically about that and some different aspects of others who fight. And when people see that, they love it because they want to see, that's why they like the first movie, Rocky, why he was a fighter. He just fought the underdog, right? People love the underdog. But I talked about paying attention pays. I talk about there's giant fights. There's other smaller fights you got to be able to function in. I talk about the triple combination that you need. Coming how David, King David, had that triple combination. Listen, David was a king. He was a king. He was a priest. He was a businessman. I mean, he had all these skills that God gave him to be able to function. I talk about his family business and how he grew in that and how he worked in the government and the things that were going on, his success. I talk about, you know, problems are not to do you in. Problems set you up for promotion. If you actually have the solution to the problem that nobody else has, you've been set up for a promotion in your life. If there's a whole bunch of problems, God has called you to be a problem solver. There's some people that solve problems. There's some people that cause problems, right? And there's just other people that don't even know what's going on, right? And so God's called you to be a problem solver. And if some things won't be solved, there may be a future problem that you have to solve. I talk about that. I talk about, you know, you got to have guts. Your success doesn't just fall in your lap. You got to reach for it. Things that you don't hear anymore. You know, I talk about success builds on itself, that you got to have smaller successes, and don't despise the days of small successes, because God's going to give you more if you actually remember the smaller successes. Dying by degrees, I talk about that with somebody who felt like they needed more information instead of just staying faithful. The purpose of ridicule, when people are trying to ridicule you, understand that's a weapon that you got to face, and that, you know, understanding that when everything looks dark, that's your moment to be able to take a shot in the dark and you go see great success. All your life at this point has been a dress rehearsal for tomorrow. Just how to run to the problems, how to run from the problem, the learning curves, good fights, hall of faith, the mountains, success. Success is a God idea, an expectation, a kingdom expectation. It's not just some sort of suggestion. Talk about pride, humility, burying the business. How many people's buried their talents in their business and hiding? But I go over so many things, I can't cover them all. But I talk about the battlefield of your mind. Do you know if you've lost in your mind, you've already lost? If you try to do everything in your life to get everything right, to fight, but you don't deal with your mind, we're told specifically that the battlefield's not our mind, but the battlefield's in our mind. Paul talks about it, and he says, listen, you got to take every thought and force it to be in compliance with the destiny that God has called you for in Christ Jesus. If he's called you to be a business entrepreneur, if he's called you to be a governmental leader, if he's called you to be a pastor, he's called you to be a business leader, you got to get your mind straight. I go into deep detail on that because it's so very, very important about so many aspects of getting your battlefield. Because if you got to get your mind straight before you get anywhere else. And you got to know that you know this is where you're going. And so as you maintain a yard, you have to maintain your mind. Great stuff in there. Just great wisdom nuggets. There's over 502 wisdom nuggets to fight for your success. Also talk about your values. One of the strategies is not only knowing the battlefield but and your thoughts, but also knowing your values. What's going to motivate you is what's valuable to you. And if you don't discover your values, you'll be operating every day out of someone else's value system. So I'll talk about that, how to define them. One of the strategies is to decide. So many people never decide. They kind of stay in between. You don't hear them stepping up and going yes and no. They just kind of live in the maybe, right? And decision comes from the word incision, which means to cut off. And if anybody knows they made a decision, it's the one who made one because they cut things out of their life. They put everything on the table. So I talk about how to make a decision. How making a decision is very important to be able to fight for your success. You know, I've decided today, when God took everybody to Mount Carmel, and he said, you have to decide. Who is your God, right? And you have to decide, what has God called you to do? And you have to decide to do it. It might not be everybody else's decision, but you're going to answer for what God's called you to do. You have to decide, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. Also, I'll talk about another strategy, which is about speaking, the power of words. If you say to this mountain, be cast in the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe, it'll happen. But what are you saying? You know, you got to actually speak, let it be, like I did those diamonds, you know. Words versus belief, speaking to God, speaking to yourself. Thoughts are talks. Listen, well, if you're saying it in your head, you're actually saying it, so you got to change what you're saying. It's that positive thinking, the benefits of positive thinking, gratitude, understanding your face is speaking. You can desire something in your life, but when you go to do it with other people, they look at your face and your face is going like, I hate this, because your face speaks. I think Abraham Lincoln says by the time you're 40 years old, you should be responsible for your own face, right? Because we're supposed to show forth the glory of God. I talk about TMI, too much information. I talk about, you know, speaking to others, the power of I am, understanding I am what? I am blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm a business person. I'm a leader, whatever it is. Oh, my goodness, I can't cover all this. Another strategy is about commitment. Another strategy, once you actually, you get your thoughts straight, once you get your values straight, once you decided, once you're speaking straight, you have to commit to this thing. You have to commit to it. I talk about Team Holt. Can't go into details there. They're powerful. But commitment is so, so very important. I talk about the millennials and the instant gratification. Well, that's not commitment. Commitment's for the long haul. I talk about participation, trophies, patience, trials and patience, skill sets, love and faithfulness. I talk about love and fulfillment. I talk about men in their 40s and 50s. Did you know that's a high level of suicide with men in their 40s and 50s? Because they're visionless. They live their lives for the wrong things. They didn't decide. They didn't do the things. They're not able to fight because they didn't do the groundwork for their fighting. I talk also about having a morning plan, call it the morning glory. A man without a morning plan or a woman without a morning plan is a person who's planning on failing. Your day needs to start out right in the right direction, headed in the right direction. I call it your launching pad. I talk about the action, the eighth strategy about action, you know, how to fight. And you have to fight when you think about fighting for your nerve. I talk about some stories that I had to go through, others had to go through. You have to have the nerve to be able to deal with dread and these different things that are kind of come in on you. And I talk about, fighting for your bench, how important it is to fight for your team and how to be able to respond to them. I talk about a third battle. I talk about fighting for your why. This is so important. You've got to find your why. If you lost your why, you got to get it back, because you will not do anything if you lost your why. So many people are so sad because they lost their motive, their reason, why they're doing it. Why are you doing what you're doing? If you don't know, stop and go find your why. I talk about that in this particular strategy, in the fourth battle in this fight strategy. I talk about how to stay on the front lines, that you get in trouble. There's a grace for your place. You have to be, if you're called to be on the front lines, your safest place is to be there in that business, in that lectern. Wherever you are called to be, you need to be there, because kings get in trouble when they're not out there in war. And I talk about fighting for your should. You should do this. You shouldn't do that. Other people said you should do this. Well, that's a dangerous thing. You don't want people to put their should on you, and you don't want to do it to yourself either. I talk about integrity and character. And finally, the ninth strategy, I talk about don't quitting. The difference between success and failure quite often is five more minutes. You know, be able to have some checkups and some summits and some things to be able to help you not quit. And finally, I talk about the blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. I talk about Cornelius. I talk about your wealth speaks. Did you know your money is testifying against you or for you? I talk about how you got to be accountable, just like a missionary when you're entering into success. You got to get this book. You can go to vfnkb.com and get the book. But let me pray with you right now. Father God, I just pray a blessing over each and every one that's watching and listening. I thank you for this wealth transfer. God, prepare them. Diamonds be, whistle blow, harvest come in Jesus' name. And remember, if you haven't yet joined us on the VFNKB community, go to vfnkb.com and join our community. And dear God, we ask you right now, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.